Harry Sweets Edison, Johnny Hodges, Duke Ellington, Les Spann, Al Hall and Joe Jones in 1959 with the Weary Blues. And that's it from this week from Jazz Record Requests. And now it's time for Jazz Line Up here on BBC Radio 3 with Claire Martin.
Hello, conductor and orchestra leader John Wilson is my special guest on today's show as he celebrates the release of his new recording out now, and he'll embark on his annual tour with his orchestra next month, showcasing the music of Cole Porter in Hollywood, featuring sounds like this. The John Wilson Orchestra from the pen of the master composer, Cole Porter. And I'll be talking to John Wilson about the songs of Cole Porter later on the show. Also on the programme, concert music from pianist Gwilym Simcott recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival, including his personal tribute to the late trumpeter and composer, Kenny Wheeler. But let's start the show with the vocals of the ever-versatile Tina May, who's been receiving 5-star reviews for her new album, My Kind of Love, which is out now on Hep Records. Well, here's the title track, written by Louis Alter, which was first recorded by Bing Crosby, and it's a song that's also been recorded by Ella and Sarah. But it's a new song to me, and it's a cracker. Let's hear Tina sing My Kind of Love.
Your kind of love keeps me believing, although you're deceiving. My kind of love, one way to paradise. My kind of lips, your kind of lips, when love comes stealing, encourage that feeling. My kind of love, one way to paradise. Tell me you love me and hug me and squeeze me. My kind of love, one way to paradise. Be gone tomorrow. Love comes but once, don't be a dunce. When you need it, beg, borrow, steal it. I'm fond of you, you're fond of me. Tell me you love me, hug me and squeeze me. Your kind of love was meant just for me. Steal for big, for all, borrow, cause we may be gone tomorrow. Hug me and squeeze me, one way to paradise.
Tina May singing the title song from her new release, My Kind of Love. And you can hear Tina sing on the 8th of November down in my neck of the woods at St John's Church in Brighton, where she'll be singing the Jobim songbook. On the 27th of November, she's at Burnham Market at the Host of Jazz. And on the 15th of December, you could see her at the Café Posque, and she'll be singing the Duncan Lamont songbook. We're staying with another new release just out on the United Sounds label. It's saxophonist Jesse Bannister, who's a unique musician respected as the leading Indo-jazz saxophonist in Europe. Jesse has composed music for the Halle Orchestra, film, TV, dance and theatre, and his new release, entitled Play Out, features all his own compositions, played by a stellar lineup of players, including the MOBO award-winning Zoe Raman on piano. Let's hear Poria. Saxophonist Jesse Bannister with Puria, taken from his new release called Play Out, and that featured Zoe Raman on piano, Eddie Hick on the drums, and Kenny Higgins on bass. You can hear this band while they're on tour. On the 6th of November, they're playing the Leeds Seven Arts Centre. On the 14th of November, they play the Nottingham New Arts Exchange, and on the 19th of November at the Pizza Express in Dean Street in London. Bass player and composer Alison Rayner has been playing jazz since the mid-70s and is a much-respected player on the scene. She has a brand new release out on the Blow the Fuse label called August, which was recorded live at the Vortex in London and features guitarist Deirdre Cartwright and saxophonist Diane McLaughlin. With the exception of the Beatles' Fixing a Hole, all the compositions and arrangements on the album are by Alison. So let's hear her piece dedicated to one of her influences, Stanley Clarke, and this is called Mr. Stanley.
Thank you.
Stanley Clarke from his new album called Up in solo bass mode there with a tribute to the jazz giant Charles Mingus. Before that, the Alison Rayner Quintet with her tribute to Stanley Clarke, Bass Heaven. And you can catch Alison in concert tonight if you're in the Brighton area where she plays The Verdict. And then tomorrow she's at the Hen and Chickens in Bristol and she tours the UK till December, which includes a date at the 2014 London Jazz Festival on November the 23rd. She's playing the front room at the Queen Elizabeth Hall and Stanley Clarke plays at Ronnie Scott's in London for the opening night of this year's London Jazz Festival, which will be broadcast live on Jazz on 3 on November the 14th. And Jazz Lineup will be at this year's festival hosting a Jazz Lineup stage on November the 15th. And that's at the Claw Ballroom at the South Bank Centre from 2 p.m. with music from vocalist Christine Tobin and Quincy Jones mentor drummer Ollie Howell. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. BBC Radio 3 new generation jazz artist saxophonist Trish Clues has a new CD out. It's her third release on the Basho label and it's called Pocket Compass. It's being released on November the 10th and features the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by André de Ridder. Her quintet on the album are Gwilym Simcock on piano, Chris Montague on guitar, Callum Gourlay on bass and James Madron on the drums. Here's a beautiful piece by Trish called Chorale. Thank you. The current BBC Radio 3 New Generation Jazz Artist. That was saxophonist Trish Clues, and that was her composition, Chorale. You can see Trish perform with the BBC Concert Orchestra at this year's London Jazz Festival, conducted by Guy Barker, on Tuesday the 18th of November at the Queen Elizabeth Hall. And that concert will be the premiere of Trish's new work for orchestra and jazz quintet. On the 2nd of November, Trish will play as part of Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival at St Mary's Church, which is next to the Sage in Gateshead, and that starts at 5 p.m. It's also interesting to hear that the London Jazz Festival have a collaboration concert on the 19th of November at the legendary BIM House Concert Hall in Amsterdam, which celebrates its 40th anniversary this year. That concert will feature the Roller Trio and John Escrete. And for more information on that, check out the links on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, we just heard the current New Generation Jazz Artist. Well, stay tuned for tonight's concert music and you'll hear the very first BBC Radio 3 New Generation Jazz Artist. That was pianist Gwilym Simcock, and he's coming up later on in the programme. But next I'll be joined by conductor, arranger and orchestra leader John Wilson, who'll be touring the UK in November with his orchestra, celebrating the music of the great Cole Porter. Before we hear from John, let's hear a track from the CD, Cole Porter in Hollywood, and it's from the film Broadway Melody of 1940 and features the fantastic Maida Vale singers with Begin the Begin. Come on, let the pain from the new album Cole Porter in Hollywood. That was Begin the Begin, and I'm happy to say that I've been joined by the maestro himself, John Wilson. Welcome to Jazz Lineup.
Hi, Claire.
John, the John Wilson Orchestra has gone from strength to strength over the last dozen years or so. I mean, I know what's special about the orchestra. I've been lucky enough to see them many times, but tell us, why is your orchestra just that little bit extra special? Is it because it's an orchestra full of leaders, do you think?
Well, you know, it's full of people who've been in it for quite a while now. I mean, the personnel's stabilised over the last 10, 15 years. And everyone in the orchestra is not only a great player, but they're sort of stylists. So they're the right sort of trumpet player for this sort of music, or the right drummer, or the right sax player, and the right sort of fiddle player. Because, you know, unless you play this music with high style, you don't really pull it off the page and deliver it to the audience. So everybody's committed to playing in that style and has a knowledge of the style as well.
Do they listen to this music anyway, or they are such broad musicians that they can just understand how you direct it?
Well, I think there's a core membership of the orchestra who really know the history of this music. So, say, Matt Skelton on the drums, or Mike Lovett on the trumpet, or Howard McGill on the sax, and Andrew Haver on the leader. And they pass on various sort of stylistic things
To the rest of them.
To the other players. I mean, I would say the big band, the saxes, trumpets, trombones and rhythm section, as a unit, are all individually stylists.
Yeah. What makes you focus on Cole Porter for this recording, then?
Well, you know, it's 50 years since Cole Porter died. He died in 1964. And it does no harm every now and then to remind people just how great these great songwriters were. There are six songwriters from the 20th century, the first half of the 20th century. Porter, Gershwin, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern, Harold Arlen and Richard Rodgers. And those six gave us most of the really important music.
A huge repertoire, though, to choose from. I mean, was it agony choosing them, or did songs just ping out at you? I mean,
no, it's agony, because you end up with an embarrassment of riches. You know, you've got songs which are hits, which have to be there because they're songs for all time, like Begin the Begin, like Easy to Love, like It's All Right With Me, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Let's Do It. But then you've got things which slip through the net, like Love of My Life, which is a Judy Garland number from a film called The Pirate, which was a massive flop, and so nobody ever bothered singing the song. It might be the most beautiful song he ever wrote. So on a record like this, and on a tour like this, when we take it around the country, we get a chance to introduce people to things which just slipped away and shouldn't have done.
Great, I love that. So when you say, I'm reading the back of the CD, and we're talking about these fabulous arrangements, are reconstructed sometimes by you or sometimes by the fantastic Andrew Cotty. What does that actually mean when you reconstructed?
Well, there are three of us. There's me, Andrew Cotty, and Paul Campbell, both fabulous arrangers in their own right, but they're great colleagues of mine. And when I say reconstructed, it means that the arrangement exists in some form already. That may be on a record or a CD or a film soundtrack, or there may be a rehearsal piano part, or there may be a conductor sketch which was used for the recording, but which just indicates what instruments are playing where. So you can have source materials from nothing to a fairly
elaborate,
complete short score. And it's just like piecing a jigsaw together, bit by bit. It's, you know, you're listening to the music and looking at the sketches for clues as to what instruments are going where. And, you know, it's like...
Is that fascinating? Do you still love it? Do you still greet it with the same enthusiasm as before?
Do you know, I do. I'm working on it at the minute. I'm working on some of the movie songs from Kiss Me, Kate for this tour. And I'm still fascinated by that whole process of trying to get as close as possible to the original orchestrations, you know, because these are the way that the composers heard these songs for the first time, wanted these songs to be preserved in the original arrangements. So it's like restoring an old master painting.
You know,
you chip away at it.
And the things that the source material you've got, has it been well looked after and kept and loved and lovingly tended to? I mean, is it bashed around and hard to see notation? And I mean, what kind of state is it?
Now everybody in America is archivally minded, so any surviving sketches are at the Library of Congress, or they're in University of Southern California in this special sort of carefully controlled, climatized rooms and all that. But it took a while for us to get to that stage of sort of preservation. And what happened is a lot of stuff was lost in the 1960s and 70s when this was just thought as old hat. Nobody thought we'd want to play this music again because it was old.
Mm. Let's talk about your pick now. You're going to choose a track for us to play, and I think it's Ruby Braff.
Well, Dick Hyman and Ruby Braff made a great record together called Ruby Braff and Dick Hyman Play Nice Tunes. And Ruby Braff is, of course, a legendary cornet player. And he once said that jazz improvisation should be the adoration of the melody. And I absolutely go with that. And every chorus is different from the rest, but they've all got this sort of common rooting with the tune. So you get embellishments and very, very sophisticated extemporization based on the melody. This is by myself, by Arthur Schwartz. Thank you.
Ruby Braff and Dick Hyman with By Myself from their album Ruby Braff and Dick Hyman Play Nice Tunes. And I'm talking to John Wilson about his forthcoming tour with his Cole Porter Goes to Hollywood project. John, this new album was recorded at Abbey Road Studios. Is that your favourite space for a recording with an orchestra this size?
Absolutely. The Studio 2 at Abbey Road, the famous one where the Beatles made all their records, was originally built for this sort of music, for Joe Loss records and, you know, all of the big bands of the day. So we've made every record for EMI Warner Classics in that room. And, of course, I've done countless other things there over the years. I did Beyond the Sea with Kevin Spacey.
Yes, you did.
In that room. And I made all my records for Vocalion and in there. So I don't really like going anywhere else. The sound is perfect.
But your tour takes you to all the major concert halls, and each hall must have its own personality and sound as you're travelling around. I know we've talked about this before. How difficult is it for you to adjust your ears to the acoustics of each hall? How do you approach that?
Well, we've been touring for about 5 years now with the same, pretty much the same group of musicians. So we get to know the halls. We know which ones are slightly tricky. We know which ones are the best. And it's funny, you've got halls up and down the country with fabulous reputations, which are difficult to play in. And then halls which nobody talks much about, say, like Nottingham, which has got the best acoustic in the country. It's remarkable, really. My hometown, Gateshead, is a gem of a hall, the Sage there. So we always love playing there. And Birmingham's really special. And of course this year we end up at the Albert Hall, which,
I was going to say,
it's a fairly cavernous place, but it's wonderful to play in on stage. You can really hear each other, and of course there's nothing like the Albert Hall for atmosphere.
I know you've probably been asked this many times, but to be a conductor, I mean, what grabbed you initially? What made you think, you know, what did you see? What was that first spark that made you think, I'd like to conduct?
Well, what got me into conducting? Well, you know, I'll tell you what it was. I was playing the drums for amateur theatricals because I was a drummer as a kid. And then the pianist got sick and they'd heard me play the piano a bit larking around. And they said, well, you can play the piano. I was like, no, well, I can't really because I couldn't read music. And so they gave me a record of this musical, Cabaret or whatever it was, I think.
How old were you at this stage?
Oh, I can't remember. Oh. 14.
Okay.
And so I learned it by... Yeah, so I used to play the piano without being able to read music. And then, of course, I learned to read music, and then I was playing the piano all the time for these sort of amateur theatricals, and then the conductor pulled out for some reason. There was always these, in the amateur operatics, there was always dramas and crises and people leaving and people walking out. And so then I was asked to conduct No, No, Nanette. And... I was terrible. I mean, I just didn't have a clue. But something...
Something's happened.
I got the bug then, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was then asked to do a panto, and I did the panto every year. And I used to write the arrangements for the panto, and I had like 12-piece orchestra. And, of course, I'd always listened to music. I'd always listened to music, getting records at the library and at school... And when it was on the telly, you know, the things I used to make my poor parents sit through on when they wanted to watch a sort of a Saturday night TV, and there'd be an opera on BBC Two, and I would shout the place down till we put BBC Two on. So I just picked up music wherever I could, and by the time I was 18, I was ready to go to the Royal College of Music because I'd had quite a lot of practical experience.
So, John, before we hear another track from the CD, it's a huge thing to take an orchestra on the road. So you must have a good team working behind you and giving you support.
Yeah, administratively and musically. We've already mentioned that Andrew Corty and Paul Campbell are wonderful helpmates when it comes to sort of writing arrangements. And, you know, the unsung hero in all of this, I guess, is Tom Croxon, who's managed the orchestra since 1998. Which is 16 years now, and he makes all of these things happen, and it takes a year to organise a fortnight's tour. Mm. You know, 70 musicians on the road, 70 hotel rooms, you know, getting from one place to the next, the logistics of it.
You're a good traveller.
We get well looked after, so we have a very good time. Most of my other work is guest conducting in individual places, and I go there and I stay there for a few days, and I come home. But on the road with... with my orchestra, it's a wonderful combination of being deadly serious on stage and then frivolous off.
Well, let's play one more track, an arrangement by Nelson Riddle with words and music by Cole Porter from the film Can Can in 1960. It's Matthew Ford singing beautifully, It's All Right With Me.
With mainly string accompaniment, and what I love about this is it gives a chance to show off our marvellous strings, particularly that silvery, silky sound of our leader, Mr. Andrew Haverom.
John, good luck with the tour. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Claire.
It's the wrong time and the wrong place. Though your face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not her face, but such a charming face, that it's all right with me. It's the wrong song in the wrong style, though your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not her smile, but such a lovely smile, that it's all right with me. You don't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Don't you want to forget someone too? It's the wrong game with the wrong chips, though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips, they're not her lips, but they're such tempting lips, that if some
from the new release, Cole Porter in Hollywood, the John Wilson Orchestra with singer Matthew Ford with It's All Right With Me. Our thanks again to John, and for more information about the John Wilson Orchestra and their tour dates, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Flautist Jeff Warren has had an intriguing career which has spanned jazz, dance and world music. He's recently dropped the alto sax to concentrate his energies on the flute and the alto flute, and he's got a new release out called The Quartet Album, which features an Italian trio of Raphael Palauzzi on piano, Marco Di Marzio on electric bass and Walter Caratelli on drums. The album is full of well-crafted tunes, and here's a track where I'm guessing Jeff is doffing the cap to Roland Kirk. This is Up and Around. You first heard flautist Jeff Warren with Up and Around, taken from his new CD out on the Upbeat record label called The Quartet Album. And that was followed by Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra with a new collection of tracks featuring Louis Armstrong, compiled by broadcaster and writer Mike Poynton, tracking the beginnings of Satchmo's rise to fame. Birth of a Jazz Genius, Louis Armstrong the Sidemen, 1923 to 1927. And that track was recorded in New York on October the 30th, way back in 1924. And among the personnel, Coleman Hawkins was playing clarinet and sax, Louis Armstrong, of course, on the cornet, and Fletcher Henderson leading the band from the piano. With something brand new now from guitar giant Bill Frisell, who says he's always on the lookout for opportunities to dig around from where I'm coming from. This reworking of the Ray Davis classic should at least give us an idea of who he was listening to back in the 60s.
Thank you.
taken from the new release, Guitar in the Space Age. That was Bill Frisell with his version of the Kinks hit, Tired of Waiting for You. And the new album, which is out now on the OK record label, is a homage to the inspirational popular music of his formative years and includes covers of the Beach Boys, Jimi Hendrix and the Byrds, to name a few. Joining Bill on this outing are Greg Leitz on pedal steel and electric guitar, Tony Scher on bass and acoustic guitar, and Kenny Wollison on drums, percussion and vibes. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, now it's time for special highlights from a solo piano concert by the highly acclaimed British pianist Gwilym Simcock, recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival at the Grand Hall at the Spa on September the 28th. In the last 10 years, Gwilym has become renowned for his solo appearances, and his extraordinary musicianship has earned him critical acclaim worldwide. In a solo capacity, he's toured throughout Europe, the US and Canada, Korea and China, just to name a few. Technically brilliant, he has fans that include Chick Corea, and without doubt, he's one of the most formidable pianists this country has ever produced. Well, he starts the set with his own composition, Renaissance Refrain.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Renaissance refrain. Thank you. As many of you will probably know, very sadly, Kenny Wheeler passed away. Wonderful, amazing musician, very much adopted by us in this country, and a huge influence on many, many generations of jazz musicians all over the world, really, but very supportive to a lot of younger musicians here in this country. I was fortunate enough to play with Kenny maybe probably 10 times, possibly, and in a couple of different surroundings. And it was a huge, huge thrill to play with someone who's very much part of my musical upbringing. So I wanted to play a little tune, my favourite tune of Kenny's, probably one of his best-known tunes, actually, as a little tribute, because we all owe him a huge amount. So I thought it was the least I could do to play a little tune for him. So this is Everyone's Song But My Own. Thank you. Tony. Thank you.
Everyone's Song But My Own, played by Gwilym Simcock and, of course, written by the late, great Kenny Wheeler. And before that, you heard Renaissance Refrain. And that was Gwilym Simcock, recorded on September the 28th as part of the 2014 Scarborough Jazz Festival. You can hear Gwilym playing at the Hampstead Arts Festival, which runs from November the 1st to the 22nd. And he'll be playing with John Etheridge on guitar at St John's Downshire Hill. And that's on Saturday the 22nd of November at 7:30 p.m. And also in London, there's a very rich and varied musical festival happening in SW19, proving that it's not all tennis to be celebrated, with an impressive array of artists appearing at the Wimbledon International Music Festival. That runs from the 8th to the 23rd of November, and featured in their jazz strand this year is the young Russian contemporary jazz hotshot Zhenya Strigler with pianist Liam Noble. They're performing on Tuesday the 11th of November at the Wimbledon Synagogue, and on Thursday the 13th you can hear the Paris Washboard Band. That's jazz washboard. That's something I've not heard yet. So for more information on that festival, go to the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, that's almost the end of this week's Jazz Lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight, and Jazz on 3 on Monday night with Jez Nelson. This week, Jez presents a programme celebrating saxophonist Tim Burns' 60th birthday. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, an interview with piano legend Kenny Barron and concert music from Brass Jaw. But to sign off tonight, the gentle lyrical playing of New York-based Israeli-born guitarist Asaf Gehati and his trio, featuring Ehud Etten on bass and Ronan Itzik on drums. The album's called Naked, and this is Song for Saba. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
That was Song for Saba by the Asaf Kahati Trio, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Claire Martin and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And for more information on jazz lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. It's 7:30 and now on BBC Radio 3, live in concert. It's from Manchester and it's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello, good evening, a warm welcome to the Bridgewater Hall, where the BBC Philharmonic are on stage, shortly to be joined by their chief conductor, Juanjo Mena. Later this Saturday evening, Simona Lamsma will be the soloist in Beethoven's Violin Concerto. And before that, two works inspired by Beethoven. Schubert was a 17-year-old in Vienna when he wrote his Second Symphony and could hardly not have been affected by the towering genius of his grand musical neighbour, who had by then introduced 8 of his 9 symphonies. First of all, music by one of this country's most respected contemporary composers, Colin Matthews, and his grand barcarolle. My starting point, he says, is the fanciful thought of Beethoven returning to his 8th symphony 200 years after he wrote it and realizing that he'd forgotten to write a slow movement. Elements of the symphony feature in Colin Matthews' work, along with ideas from 2 piano sonatas that Beethoven was working on at the same time, Opus 81A and Opus 101. And there's a little bit of Colin Matthews' own Beethoven pastiching on show too. One of the disciplines he decided to adhere to was to use an orchestra that Beethoven would have recognized. So no percussion and no harp. Why barcarolle? Because Beethoven never wrote one, Colin Matthews replies, so there would be no invidious comparisons. Though had he done so, it would surely have been a grand barcarolle. To conduct the BBC Philharmonic here at the Bridgewater Hall, the music of Colin Matthews, please welcome Juanjo Mena.